Welcome to 286 of Sprinkins and Geek Combat.
And I'm Hammer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we bring you our review of The Crimes of Grindelwald. It has finally happened.
Yeah.
We will also...
Oh, God.
We'll also, unfortunately, talk about 50 Shades Freed.
Man. We are free.
Thank the maker. Mm-hmm. Bring you the pod question, some nerd news, and get on out of here. All right, so our first topic of conversation, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald. This is the second story in the 5, dealing on the backstory of Grindelwald.
I didn't actually know it was going to be 5.
Dumbledore and Newt Scamander.
Yeah.
Yep. 5 movies.
Scamander.
So you get 10 years of more Harry Potter stuff.
I mean...
And then at that point, it'll be 30 years old and they'll reboot Harry Potter, you think?
I actually was... We were watching Harry Potter again. We just finished The Half-Blood Prince.
Ugh.
I like it. I like him.
I think that's the one where Dumbledore dies?
Yes.
Yeah, that one was 2.5 hours just to make Dumbledore die. And I was like...
I like it. But I mean, again, I like the Harry Potter stuff. But I'm like, we're watching it again. And my first thought was like, are they going to reboot this soon? And I'm like, can you imagine doing an undertaking of rebooting 7 movies? And then what if it fails?
Or 8.
Oh, 8, yeah. But what if it fails?
What if people don't want the reboot?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
it'll be interesting to see what they do once Fantastic Beasts is over with.
Yeah. I feel like they'd have to wait longer to reboot it. But then again, you know, I've been proven many times wrong before.
In this one, we get a little bit more backstory of Grindelwald and where he came from. His plan... Which is basically to kill anyone that doesn't like him.
Yep. It's very original. Very, very, very original.
It's definitely... The time frame was 1927.
So that's the thing I was trying to actually remember is I couldn't remember the year when I was watching it. Because it does actually put the year and date in front of it. And I actually blanked. I was like, shit, is this before or after World War II?
It's before.
And it's before. I'm like... Because they mentioned it last time in the last movie about him being is like, oh, is this the new, like, the war hero from World War I?
Right.
And they're like, no, that's his brother kind of thing. And I was like, okay. But they never actually mentioned if it's World War I or II.
Yep.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. He gives the vision of, like, this is what's going to happen in the future if you let Muggles stick around.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, we can't allow that. Because we're going to do it. But Grindelwald and Dumbledore are both wanting to secure Credence onto their side because they both feel that he's the key to either side winning. Dumbledore sends Newt to go and watch after Credence. And Grindelwald uses a more personal approach. Basically tell him he can figure out or tell him who he is.
Yeah.
You get more beasts. You get more magic. Mainly from this, what you get is character and world development. With not a whole lot happening, but you can see where things are going to be happening.
It's trying to put a lot of wheels in motion.
Yes.
Again, it's really pretty from a, like, I don't, have you ever read the books?
No. Well, which books?
Like the Harry Potter books.
I think I'm on Prisoner of Azkaban. Like, I need to go back and actually read them.
So, like, kind of going the idea from, like, a book perspective, it's a very odd thing, just like last movie was, where you kind of go into it not knowing what's going on, but it is trying to put a lot of stuff out there, and I'll say it over and over again, man. I want to know more. I want to see the novelizations and everything. But
right.
I think we both agree that Eddie Redmayne does a fun job. I love it. I think they did choose a good person. I wasn't sure about it the first time around, like before I saw the movie, and then I'm like, I'm pretty confident I do like him.
Right.
He's a good person, a good lead person for this. Yes. Also, I will say that I actually enjoyed Jude Law and.
Jude Law's Dumbledore was really good.
Oh, dude. I'm like, dapper as fuck.
Jude Law's Dumbledore was really good.
Like, it, spot on. And even Johnny Depp does a good job of playing a
villain. I didn't hate Johnny Depp like I normally do.
Yeah. Overall, again, like you said before, it's a lot of wheels are getting rolling. So stuff does happen, but maybe not as big as you may want. It's kind of resetting the stage where the last one just kind of introduced you to the world. This one's kind of re-rolling the world and showing you, hey, this is where we're going to be going. And with the idea, it'd be 3 more movies at this point, right?
Yeah, there's 3 more.
3 more movies that they're going to be doing, so they can't resolve anything huge at this point. But they can start setting stuff going.
Yeah, I mean, things aren't going to be resolved until the 5th movie, obviously. But, you know, towards the end of this movie, we get at least one resolution. And we'll see some more coming up from this point. But we both say go see it. We both liked it.
Yeah.
I think you liked it more than I did, but I still liked it.
I had a real good time. Like I said, it's super pretty. There's just times that I don't always know what's going on. Not Transformers-wise, it's just explaining-wise. Like, right. I can follow the action, I just don't know...
Like, they're just not giving up everything yet.
Yes.
They're holding a lot of stuff close to the vest, so, you know, there are things that are going to be like, well, I don't understand what this is, and you'll understand it come three movies later.
Yeah.
All right, so we both say, go say... I keep wanting to call it Harry Potter. Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald. We'll come back a little bit later with a spoiler-filled review.
That's right, buddy. You got this. It's done. It's over. It's
Thank
okay.
Thank goodness it's
You can done. Tap out. Our safe words are said. We're good.
Red.
Yes.
So now we're going to get to our review of Fifty Shades Freed. The final...
Thank God.
Dude. The final Fifty Shades movie.
Do you think this is ever going to be, like, someone's favorite series to go back to over and over again?
I'm sure.
I feel like it's forgotten.
Somebody loves this movie. Yeah. Somebody has to love this movie.
Overall, though, I really feel like this series got forgotten real quick. Real quick.
Because...
It goes on shock factor.
Well, like, look, these people are fucking, but the sex isn't hot.
No, it's funny that, like, this is consistently, for this series, the sex is the most boring part of the movie. When I know a sex scene's come up, I get up and start doing some laundry or start making food. Like, I'm doing anything. I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to go on for like 3-4 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, like, not saying they're not attractive people. It's just, there's no chemistry. There's more chemistry on like a Pornhub video about a guy going for a MILF or, you know, and like, that's obviously staged and they have better chemistry.
Totally.
Like, I believe it. I'm like, oh my God, yes, of course you're an innocent mother, blah, blah, blah. I'm like...
Of course when you ordered that pepperoni pizza, you wanted sausage to go with it.
But for them, there's just no chemistry. It comes off so fake.
No.
It comes off as, like, a movie you'd watch within a movie.
Well, and the thing that, like, they're talking about kids after they're married. Isn't that a conversation you have before you get married?
Yeah. I was watching that going, wait, so you mean you never talked about... kids before right. getting married
or last name
like
or,
this is shit that I'm like, you know,
I understand
if it was two teenagers right out of school getting married, then yeah, I'm like, you're fucking adults.
I understand fucking is fun, I get that.
Oh yeah,
but like, there were conversations at some point. You want to talk to your partner, don't
at
you?
At some point you get exhausted enough that you have to speak.
Like, at some point you don't have to have something in your mouth
or in other orifices, like, kind of thing. I'm like, come on.
And one thing that got to me, that doesn't seem to be as big of a deal, but it got to me, is that, like, she uses other girls' toys.
What did she use other girls' toys?
Remember he tells her at one point to go grab the butt plugs?
Yeah.
Do you really think he bought all that stuff specifically for her?
No, but I don't know.
He had a sex cleaned. Room.
Yeah.
Sure, he
cleaned. But any of those toys are going to be like that, so.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between, like, rope and...
You're talking about something that has
something been... that's been inside of someone. Somebody, yeah. He's kind of proven that he's vindictive.
Yeah.
And so you're trusting him that he cleaned all his toys? And I'm like...
I mean, you'd have to be married at that point.
But, like, talking to some of my girlfriends, it seems that I have a bigger deal with it than they do. So I'm like, all right.
I have to admit, it didn't... He seems like, pun intended, an anally retentive person who would want his things cleaned. Exactly.
See what you did there.
So
there's
like,
no growth in these characters. Like, they're still
except for in the mornings.
having these arguments childish that like squabbles. should have been completed, I don't know, years ago when you started dating. And I, like, couples are going to have arguments and disagreements.
Yes.
But, like, theirs seem like they've just met on Craigslist and started fucking.
They're having... The problem is, like, a lot of the issues they're having and they're discovering, quote-unquote, are, like, bedrock issues. Like, these are things that, like, destroy relationships because there's something that isn't... You know, just say, like, casually, I'm thinking about getting married to you. Do you want to have kids now? You like you kind of flip that conversation. It's like, okay, she wants to have kids, or he doesn't want to have kids, and we're on the same wavelength. Let's go move forward to the next
step. Right, we don't want to have kids. Let's talk about this. Or
and my bigger problem with just in general is that the answer every time to Christian's like thing of like, oh, something's wrong, buy her something. It's like basically, mind you, I'm like, that's the rich boy kind of like idea.
I mean, I get it from his perspective of like, I can give you these things.
But it's the abusive cycle. It's the honeymoon phase.
They're both abusive.
They are. They both are. Like, no, you're right.
And, like, I know a lot of people were talking about how abusive he is and stuff, and it's not an actual BDSM relationship. And I'm like, sure. But she's just as manipulative and abusive, too.
She uses herself to motivate him.
She's,
and like, basically, like, messes with him all the time.
I am so glad we are done with these movies. And it's one of those things of, like Twilight. You know, we knew going into it we're going to hate watching and see if maybe we can understand why anybody would want to be in these movies and watch these movies voluntarily. And no.
The only reason I can imagine is someone is curious and won't go on to, like, won't do actual research. And they like the fantasy and this weird, like, thing that doesn't exist. But the people who have actually done it kind of thing. And my thought is, like, do it right.
The curiosity, I understand, but like, yeah,
if it starts a conversation where they're like, well, that doesn't feel right, but I'm really curious about it, then great, cool. You just do your other research stuff. But I'm like, I'm so worried about people saying like, this is the right way to go about it. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Not everybody's billionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I fucking hate this movie. I'm so glad it's over with. And then you had no plot until the last, like, 20 minutes of, like, oh dude wants some $5 million because he ruined his life.
I was kind of waiting, like, at the last part, I was like, oh, they're not making, like, a play for another sequel, are they? Because God. You know what they're doing at the end? Like, it's usually building, and then they resolve everything. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God you just blew your load. I'm like, oh, good, because I didn't want to see another movie. I thought it was going to be 50 Shades Freed and 50 Shades Freed-er.
50 Shades back in the saddle.
It's really appropriate. I like that.
I could.
Do you
not
ever stop and think though when you're watching? Because we're seeing Married with Children in the back there. That is a better BDSM relationship right there. They just mess with each other the entire time. It's great. Sorry.
As much as I love the show, do you think it would be able to be aired?
God now? No! It is right? So wrong.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Because I love that show. Anyway, but yeah, 50 Shades is. Please, just skip don't it. Watch this movie. It's horrible. I can't give it any more than a thumbs down.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, but I'm glad we're finally done with it.
We are.
All right, buddy.
Congrats.
It's your turn to pick a movie.
Yep.
What you got?
We're going to be watching Bleach. It's the Netflix live-action one. Also, it'll be easier for you because I do have a dub version for it, so you can actually watch it and not have to worry about reading subtitles all the time. But yes. I know we talked about it, and I actually do really want to watch it, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it otherwise, so I'm like, here you go.
Motivation. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to watch Bleach on Netflix.
Bleach your memory of 50 Shades.
If you have anything you want us to watch on HBO Go, Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime, let us know at battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Sprekins a Geek on Facebook. You can reach me, I'm at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Crane Kalis, and make sure to like us, love us, and share us on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, and on iTunes. And we're posted every Monday morning, as long as I don't fuck up the episode. I'm sorry, guys, last time I got a little ambitious and tried to upload the episode before the upload was finished, which is why it cut off halfway through. All on me. Lesson learned-ish.
Did you actually learn your lesson?
I hope so. If it happens again, I didn't.
We'll see what happens this week.
Exactly.
Stay
tuned.
So, it has finally happened. Stan Lee has finally passed away at the age of 95. Mm-hmm. I know we made a bunch... We did make jokes on here about him passing. It's not that we wanted him to pass. One, it was that, how has he not passed?
Yeah, because he's 95.
And it finally got to a point where I was like, please pass away. When there was a video, I don't know, about a year ago?
Yeah.
Of him at a convention and someone was telling him how to spell his name and such. And I was like, no, this is, please, like, please.
Like, there was a big concern a long time ago, because I know this is one of the things we were talking about off mic-wise, but he, like after his wife died, which I think was like 5 or 6 years ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't it? It was
3,
was
maybe.
Was it only 3 years ago?
We've only been doing the podcast for 6 years, and she died into the podcast.
Right, okay. So, yeah. But, I mean, when she died, I think did his daughter die shortly after that?
Did she?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure his daughter has also passed away. I thought so. No. I thought so, at least. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. But I know, like, his wife passed away, and that's, like, when it, like, my thought is this in general is if you know people that are bonded pairs kind of thing-wise, and one of them goes, usually the other one doesn't stay around that long, and it's usually because their quality of life dips.
Right, because they don't have somebody being there forever.
Yeah, and now you suddenly don't have that other part of you. So I was like, kind of like, I felt bad, and I did see him live when he was at AS Comic Con, and literally it was him and shit, what's the guy who did Spawn?
McFarlane.
McFarlane was there, and McFarlane will always be there for him, because he like always talks about it constantly, and they're like, I don't like McFarlane.
I mean,
a
McFarlane
lot.
Has a career because of Stan Lee.
He does.
Lots of people have careers because of Stan Lee, but yeah.
But like, that's the kind of like, I love the fact of like, literally about a genuine respect the guy has for him. Like, he's the kind of guy who's like, I will hold you, you can hold my arm, I'll walk you around, whatever like that. But, you know, he was just like, he even said before, just like as a heads up, Stan will be coming up soon. As you know, Stan is a long running guy, like basically saying like, hey, he's old, but he's like, there are times that maybe your questions don't get across, and I'll reiterate them to him, and I'll reiterate the answers. If you guys have questions, just please be patient kind of stuff. And I was like, ah, poor dude. And it was nice hearing his stories, but it looked like he was played out. He'd been literally in the limelight, and he had inspired so many people. He'd done so much. I think he was ready to be done, and right. They never really gave him the chance, I feel like. And there's always
but
the stories
it seems like
of abuse
too. He still wanted to do it as well because he really loved his fans. But yeah, it did feel the last year or two that he was just being paraded around of like, look, this is the man that used to be Stan Lee. And almost like Weekend at Bernie's style.
And it sucks because I'm like, I really do love and respect the man. Mm-hmm. Seeing that makes me sad because I'm like, dude, the guy deserves some decorum.
Right.
He like deserves rest, if anything. And if he wants to come out, great. But I didn't feel like it was coming from him. Felt like it was coming from managers and stuff. But he has passed.
He has passed.
And I'm sad but very happy about it because I feel like it's...
Right.
You can be at rest.
It's a relief passing of like, okay.
Yes.
It's kind of along the lines when somebody has just horrible cancer and like nothing can be done and they just keep going and going and you're like, please, just... go. It's okay. Like, I understand you're probably not enjoying this, so just... we are sad to hear that he went, but we're also relieved that he's kind of gone at this point.
And in real things, and my thought is this, is like, I think sometimes in our country, like in our culture specifically, we really look at death as a terrible thing.
Right.
Sometimes it's a good thing. Take it as a chance to celebrate his life, which he achieved a fuck ton.
I mean, I know here in town they did a cosplay walk around...
Yeah.
Tempe Town Lake, I think, is where they had it. But yeah, he inspired everybody. And one of the things that I was thinking of is it's hard to find somebody on this planet in the civilized world that hasn't been impacted some way by Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Or, you know, everybody knows Spider-Man or Iron Man or
Thor.
But like Spider-Man, like almost
Spider-Man,
everybody
knows
Spider-Man.
Iron Man, yes, they do.
And like, even if you're not a fan,
you know
who he is.
I know there was even a thing, like, because it's all a bunch of, like, stuff online where it's artists paying tribute-wise, which I think is awesome, because you get to see Stan Lee drawn in a bunch of different styles. And there's even one, like, I think it's Toriyama, I can't remember the guy, who does Dragon Ball from Japan, and he shows him with, like, Goku I'm pretty sure it was his, but, or Akira, I think his guy did it, but, has him with, like, you know, Goku on the dragon and has, like, Stan Lee all smiling with little ring stuff. But I saw a lot of shit like that, and I was like, that's a beautiful way to say, like, he impacted and inspired so much.
Right. Alright, so news story number 2 is we got a new trailer for Pokemon, speaking of Japan.
Dude. I think I am way more on board with this than you are.
I've never seen an episode of Pokemon, so I don't know Pokemon at all. And so the first time Ryan Reynolds is talking, I'm like, that shouldn't he be all like, Pika?
Yep.
And then, you know, later they're like, Pika! I was like, okay... All right, I don't know if I love Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu. Because
you're trying not to separate him from Deadpool kind of thing?
The trailer looks fun. It looks enjoyable. But as somebody who doesn't know Pokemon, I'm like, all right. Like, I don't see the big, like, oh my god, Pokemon! And, you know, people that know Pokemon are, oh my god, Pokemon!
I guess it's the idea of, like, someone who always played, the games on, like, Game Boy and stuff. You always saw in a super deformed world. And then you see, in the background, you see stuff like, what it sounds like, the Johto World Cup and shit like that. Like, it brings, like, the world into a reality thing, which used to be, I think it probably still is, a lot of fun things people like to do is, like, hey, let's make this fantasiful thing real. And that's kind of what it does, and it shows, like, a world where Pokemon actually really exist. The guy almost looks like Ralph Garman. I know it's not him. This is a problem we're watching, like, we're watching Super Bowl sometimes. That was,
Adam Devine.
Footballs. Footballs? I said footballs, yes. Just okay. Move on. I didn't mean to.
You start calling it sports ball.
It's I'm not going to, because you'll be all upset. We ever do. But, I can get a little sensitive there. But it's the idea of, like, just seeing the world kind of fleshed out and made real, which is kind of cool.
It does take place in the real world.
I'm curious because there was talks about trying to get Danny DeVito to do the voice of Pikachu. Oh, and I would have fucking loved it. And now I want to see someone, and I'm sure it'll pop up soon, where they do, like, take, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia or other roles and then put Danny DeVito's voice into that trailer, and I'll watch the shit out of it.
There was, I don't know, we're getting way off topic here, but there was a trailer for Mrs. Doubtfire on Freeform.
Yeah.
And they turned it into, like, a horror movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. I loved that trailer.
There's a couple of them where they've done trailers and they recut, like, there's a horror movie version of Mary Poppins. And it's, like, she's got poltergeists and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing.
But as somebody that's not into Pokemon, trailer looks cute and I'm sure I'll see it. I'm not blown away by it, but it seems that Pokemon lovers are blown away by it.
I'm pretty excited. Like, it looks really cool. So, I'm curious to see more. Well, maybe it's an absolute shitfest. I have no idea. I'm more excited about this than I was about, like, Ready Player One, I guess, because it has that same kind of, like, weird neon view to it.
Is, do you think Mew is going to be around?
I don't know if they're going to go that deep into it, but I imagine, like, they're literally building a world, because if this is successful, I'm pretty sure it's going to be. It's going to be a series.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm all game. Like, someone told me about it. I was like, meh, and then I finally watched. I was like, oh, shit, I want to see this now. So, yeah.
New story number 3. E3 is going to suck this year. Speaking
of pulling out.
Oh, man, that works for 50 Shades.
Oh, that would have been better.
But he didn't. That's why she's pregnant.
It's fine. The baby's okay, except that it's with them as parents.
Dude.
Yeah, I know.
They're so selfish. They are going to use the child against the other one. Oh, my God. Anyway, Sony has decided not to attend E3 this year, and this comes just a few weeks after announcing that they're not going to have a PlayStation experience this year, which means that they will have a PlayStation experience next year and announce the PS5.
Yeah.
That's 100% what this is going to be.
Very likely. I feel like they've gone through this weird love-hate thing with E3, which,
I mean, but you don't need E3.
No,
Nintendo's proven that you don't need E3. Now you do need directs.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Sony get more into doing directs or communicate. Like, that's what PlayStation Experience was for me, was you had your diehard fans there and you could talk specifically to them. And that's what Nintendo does. They're like, why put all this money into something when we could just do it on our own? And the ones who show up are going to be the ones that want to see what we've got going on.
I guess I would have liked it better if they did do a PSX, but then again, if they didn't have anything to show, which is what it seems like.
Yes.
Then
I'm okay with they don't want to show anything they show now, you're going to be able to be like, well, that's obviously running on a PS5. And they may not announce the PS5 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be ready for it. So then you're in this limbo, kind of like with Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was like, there's no way this is running on old gen systems. But the new gen systems hadn't been announced, yeah. And they're like, why is somebody going to buy, you're promoting all this old gen stuff, and you know that you've got new gen stuff coming out probably shortly. So I do imagine that we will see the PS5 announcement probably at a PSX next year. I mean, it makes sense. And then it comes out in 2020.
Yeah, well, then the head of Real Life mate kind of pointed out, it's like, if you look at, we were divisive on their show last year. Like, they showed some really awesome stuff. Like, I want to know more about
Ghost of Tsushima.
I want to play that game so hard.
Right.
But
they didn't, and I still want to play Days Gone, which they didn't even show. Last of Us 2, I don't want you to show anything else. For the love of God, don't show anything else. And so, what are you going to be showing? Well, you're not ready to show Spider-Man 2.
No.
You're not ready to show God of War 2.
And I don't think
they're going to bring back... You're not ready to show Horizon 2.
And I don't think they're going to bring back, like, you know, Infamous or anything like that. So it's like, what are they going to show?
No, because Sucker Punch is working on Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. So it's like kind of like, what are you... Right. They're kind of getting to the place
you,
where... like
you don't want to be there and show nothing. And then people are like, oh, Sony had such a horrible conference. Blah, blah, blah.
It's funny because like a lot of the stuff we liked about this generation is they kind of piloted again a lot of new series. But it's funny because if they're really successful, they're going to make more of them. And if they make more of them, they'll have less opportunities to make new games. And then we get into the same thing where all of a sudden we're like, wow, we're bored of the new stuff, the new old stuff, the old new stuff. We want new stuff.
Speaking of new games, and I mean, not. Did you know that there is a new Road Rash on the PlayStation Store?
No.
I was like, whatever. And I went searching. Found Road Rash, and I was like, what?
Is it actually new, or is it like in the past like 3 years or something?
I think it looks from the past maybe 3 years.
Because I do remember them doing a remake of Road Rash.
And it has really bad reviews, so.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I never went to it. Because there was one, that might be the one I'm thinking of. But yeah, they did make a remake of Road Rash, and I was so sad. Because that game was amazing back in the day.
I know.
But it's because you could be on a bike and use chains and beat people down. Yeah. And
there's so many games that I would love to see come back that I'm...
But you kind of
show. Oh, show. I'm so. Like, I don't understand why they aren't back.
Yeah.
Games of, like, I would love to see another Kessen. For the love of God, Kessen was amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of.
An old school Shining Force that's tactics based.
I really want them to remaster.
Odd that we don't have a Phantasy Star.
I never really got into Phantasy Star, but.
No, but, like, it seems odd that we don't have one.
It feels like mainline RPGs have kind of fallen off, and maybe like I'm just not seeing them. I don't know.
I think it's because open world games are RPGs.
Yeah, but
you level up, you make your shit.
Yeah,
like it's more of an RPG than an RPG game that's very linear.
I guess so. I kind of miss linear. Like I really wanted, and I was actually gonna go look online again after we're talking about it with like Crisis Core and stuff, which I totally forgot to go look up after this. But I really wanted to play like the Lunar games, like the Lunar and Lunar 2. Like, fuck, I'd love those on PS1, but they're extremely linear. Like, there's not a lot you can do, but it's kind of nice because, again, it's the storybook idea. I mean, I get a little lost because it's like you're playing Red Dead right now, and I'm like, it's so big that it actually...
My problem with Red Dead is I can't just play it.
Yeah.
I have to invest into it. So if I've got 20 minutes before work or whatever, well, it takes me 20 fucking minutes to get to where I'm going. Awesome. Guess I just rode a horse to get here and now I'll just fucking...
Camp and save.
Yeah.
Wait. Did you get the notice of email for PlayStation about them closing down servers for...
I did. For Warframe.
For... And that was Warhawk.
Warhawk.
Starhawk. Sorry, Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal, and I can't remember what else. But those are going to be closing
Sound
down...
Sound Shapes.
January?
Yeah. I think they might have extended it to March. But yeah, they're closing down. Next month is our last month of PS3 and Vita.
Yeah.
Freebies.
Which they haven't really gone out with a bang.
Speaking of... I believe GameStop right now has $40 for a year for PS Plus.
Ooh.
So, and that's one of those things you can buy a card and pop it just into your system and it'll, yep. Black Friday deal on PlayStation Store is pretty amazing.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Right now you can grab,
Tomb Raider
for $30.
The newest one.
You can grab... Far Cry for $30, I think. Assassin's Creed Origin, I think, is $30.
Which is actually, in some ways, they're cheaper than some of the retail versions.
Yeah, haven't gotten cheap yet, which is odd on, like, Far Cry. It's been a year.
But the benefit February is you don't have to go out and wait in line.
No, but, I mean, I'm sure I'll end up going Black Friday shopping.
Possibly. We'll see.
Possible.
Next week is gonna be Thanksgiving, so
yeah.
By this time, by the guests, like, yeah, so everyone I would just wish him happy Thanksgiving now, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Or happy family Thanksgiving. Day, turkey day, whatever you guys do.
Hope the turkey wasn't the only thing getting stuffed.
There you go.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's pod question, which was brought to you by Hammer.
Yes, and I want to know what was your favorite, basically your favorite, like, strategy guide experience or strategy guide in general. I know we didn't really get anyone responses, which is totally fine, because it's a weird question.
It is a weird question. I like the question. My response is the Final Fantasy XI strategy guide that Prima did. Dude, I loved that thing. And because it was an MMO, like, there's a lot of things that you have to kind of find out on your own. And they released a lot of things of, like, here's tips on how to deal with the different jobs, and here's how to unlock the... Because I had no idea what a sub job was.
Yeah.
I was like, here's how you do a sub job.
Sub job thing was fucking
here's the maps. If you didn't have the map for it right yet, you had maps. I was like, here's how to avoid some things to get to different towns. And like, it was really in-depth for an MMO strategy guide, because it really helped, like, make sure you didn't get overwhelmed too much, which was really easy to do with 11. And, I mean, it's really easy to do with all MMOs, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, like, that actually makes a lot of sense, especially just guides on how to get to places, which is actually kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, now most MMOs are a lot nicer to you, but
11 hated you.
11 hated you, and you ran into, like, a goblin, you were fucking dead, and then you'd just be sitting there, this meme, waiting for a res, looking around, seeing people's names. And all
hoping that somebody walks by, like, wait, can you do a shot for me?
Dude. We'll pay for res.
Yeah, like, it's... Oh, dude, remember having to pay for res? Like...
I do.
People were dicks.
When I became a white mage and I got to the point where I got to be a rezzing, I was rezzing everybody. I'm like, I don't care. They're like tips. I'm like, I don't need them.
If I was just waiting around for like a sky event or some sort of M&M hunt or something, and I had like, I don't know, an hour, I would go up to the dunes and just help people PL and raise people and such. Because I'm like,
people died so much.
I fucking hate
the
dunes. Yeah.
And that was kind of usually where I died a lot. I did spend a little time there because I was like, hey, help. Because it sucked. Yeah. But
what about
mine
you,
is also a Final Fantasy game. Mine was 7. No surprises, really. But it was like the first game I had. But it was also, I remember I didn't buy the strategy guide right away. I actually saved up for a bit afterwards. And then I found out a lot of the shit I missed.
Because
I didn't realize how much a game had that I was going to miss out on. I remember buying that one. Was one of the first ones I also bought with my own money. My quote-unquote my own money. But yeah, I fucking love it. I still have it, and the cover got ripped off of it because I used it so damn much. I love that. I still have it. I won't get rid of that because it was like my first one.
I still have almost all of my Final Fantasy strategy guides. And
Even 9.
Those are the ones... I don't have that one, unfortunately. Yeah. Those are the ones that I keep because I'm like... These mean something to me, because Final Fantasy, for a very long time, was...
Sorry, guys, we're watching trailers.
So super important, and, I mean, it's... I want it to be important to me now, but it feels like Final Fantasy doesn't want me around, which is sad.
Doesn't want anyone around.
All right, so for this week's pod question, I want to know, what is your favorite Stanley cameo? Since everybody else is doing it, we figured...
Why not?
Why not? Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Send your answers to batandhammer@gmail.com, batandhammer on Twitter, SpreadingTheGeek on Facebook. You can reach me, I'm at Taro Skippy.
Matt Crankalis again is, make sure to like us, love us, share us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher, and good freaking luck watching all those Marvel movies. You're trying to figure out which is your favorite cameo, or just use YouTube. Be lazy.
There is the one on YouTube. Now, I'm not keeping it to Marvel.
Oh yeah, because he was in, well...
He's been in other stuff too. So what is your favorite Stanley cameo? He was in Teen Titans Go, for crying out loud.
That was kind of adorable. I like it because he's lost, and you're like, aw.
He's like, why are you... I just want a cameo somewhere. Shouldn't I be here?
It's pretty fucking adorable.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 86 of Spriggins a Geek. We're going to come back with our spoiler-filled review of Fantastic Beasts and the Crime of Grindelwald. So if you don't want to hang around for that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to episode 286 of Spriggins the Geek. Super Spriggins the Geek, I'm back.
I'm Hammer.
Brace your geek.
Have a great week.
All right, guys. So like we said, we're going to go ahead and get into our spoiler-filled review of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I would say. Do they really have that long title? I thought it was just Fantastic Beasts.
It's just Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald.
I was like, why are you going back? Never mind, sorry. Never go back.
I mean, sometimes you can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway, so let's see. Grindelwald or Newt is tasked to keep an eye on Credence by Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that Grindelwald is gathering an army to essentially take out the Muggles and any of the mages. They're not magics.
No mag.
Are they magics that don't agree with Grindelwald? So Grindelwald just wants followers and nobody else, basically.
Okay. I don't know why I said okay, but all right.
And at some point, Grindelwald has made it clear that the key to his success is Credence.
Yeah.
And so Newt is on his way to London to keep an eye on Credence, essentially.
Paris.
Right, he's in London, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's in he's in London going to Paris.
Yeah. And then about 2 hours of filler happen.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't like this movie as much as others have. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I think it's one of those movies that the other movies will make it more important.
It's the world builder after a movie that was kind of supposed to be its own thing.
No, I mean, Fantastic Beasts was start of the world,
mm-hmm.
but like, it was building the world and it built up everything, so it was going somewhere. Where this one was, you don't want to go too far because you've got 5 movies that you have planned.
Yeah,
and so you want to give out a little bit, but you don't want to. Excuse me. You don't want to give out too much.
I still also kind of like go back to the idea that I feel like Fantastic Beasts was something. And then there was supposed to be almost a completely separate series of movies that just explored Dumbledore and Grindelwald. And then somewhere along the way, at the very last 5 minutes of the movie, of the last movie, they made it, oh no, it's going to connect both of them. And that's why this one's probably going to feel a little off, I feel like, is because it's trying to do a BVS, as in it had a world, it already had a Superman, it basically, you know, it already built out Newt and his whole world and his whole cast of characters, but the only thing you had for Grindelwald that was built out was literally about 5 minutes total, including the stuff in the beginning of the movie and the ending of the movie, of the last one. And then all of a sudden this movie is so focused entirely on Grindelwald and Dumbledore and Newt. So it feels a little weird, and you're right, they're building out a bunch more movies so that they'll come back and be like, oh shit, stuff here makes sense.
Right.
And I know for me it's weird, and I was talking to Sarah about it, it's kind of weird, it's that it's strange going into a movie that I've been so used to being able to know what's going on or have a better perspective because I've read the books before.
Right.
And you have perspective and you can understand where things are coming from, but there's a bunch of shit that goes on in this movie that I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's really pretty.
Yeah.
But I don't exactly understand all of what's going on.
Right. Like, I don't... His assistant that lives in the suitcase, like, where did she come from?
And like, she's just kind of introduced and not really given a backstory.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, like, literally it's one of those, I guess that's going to come back in later.
Right. There are...
The whole weird thing between Queenie and Dan Fogler, like...
It's Jacob.
Jacob, yeah.
Is it Jacob?
I don't remember. I'm going to go with Jacob. We're going to go with Jacob.
But yes, I...
Like, it felt odd the way it ended in the last one, and, like, I know they're trying to do time has passed kind of things, but it was very... It was a really strange reintroduction back to the characters.
I mean, well, just the fact that she's bewitched him and is extremely selfish in her... love of, like, the reason he doesn't want to marry her isn't because he doesn't love her, he doesn't want her to go to Azkaban.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal for Madge and no Madge to be together.
Yeah. It's just, it's very, like, again, there's a lot of strange things that I totally don't get, and I would want to watch it again, because I feel like maybe I might be a better viewing, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll totally watch it again. Because I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it, but there are parts where it feels like it's going slow, and it feels like there are, I want to say, like, 5-minute episodes of a TV show.
Okay.
And some of them don't feel to flow together. But the end, like, it ended pretty strong.
Yeah.
With Grindelwald, you know, basically putting down the lines of, like, either you went with me or against me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see Queenie turn to be with him because he, one, she's been drugged.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get. The first time I was like, why? She's making a decision to just go with him. She's like, you know, Sarah's like, no, he was drinking the tea. She drank the tea. The tea had her drugged.
Oh. And I was like,
yeah, okay, that makes way more sense now.
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I missed it.
Because I was like, what the fuck's going on?
But yeah, her deciding to go after being drugged, but essentially she's mind controlled.
Yeah.
Because she can read people's minds, and
he is a very valuable thing for her to have.
And so it makes sense when, because at first I was like, this makes no sense. And then once she was like, no, this is what happened, I was like, okay, it makes way more sense now.
That, I wish they would have done a bit more of a job showing that, because I honestly didn't get that. Jackie didn't get that either. We're like, both of us were really confused as what the fuck's going on with Queenie, because she's like, I want to be with you, blah, blah. It's like, this is the only way I can find it fair, but she's literally leaving a person who has no magical ability to die in that place, which made no sense.
But, yeah, and I was like, this is so, but afterwards, I was like, okay, alright, I get it now.
The stuff with Nagini and Credence was interesting, because I don't... I just want to know what's going on with them a bit more. It's like, literally, there's probably... And again, I think it's, you put it really well, that it's just... It's going to build to other movies. Yeah. So there's a bunch of little vignettes.
And we know that Nagini turns into Nagini.
Nagini, eventually. So something has to happen there. She's now very much a sympathetic character. Mm-hmm. But eventually, she turns into Voldemort's counterpart. So you're like, you wonder how that shit happens. Like, the whole thing with her and Credence. And then also with Credence, like, Credence's parentage. Like, about, like, him being essentially a Dumbledore.
And, well, my question, like, is he a blood Dumbledore? If he's a blood Dumbledore, how does he get off the... Like, why is Dumbledore's family on, essentially, the Titanic? And where's Dumbledore at this time?
I have no idea.
So I'm like, or is he an adoptive Dumbledore? He's an adopted Dumbledore, because he was adopted.
Yeah.
So, it seems like he's more of an adopted Dumbledore than a blood Dumbledore.
I feel like he is a blood one, but the thing is, Dumbledore already has a brother.
And a sister.
And a sister, and the sister is like the...
But she's dead.
She's dead by, I don't know, by now? Yeah. But she is...
In this world.
Yeah, but when they're...
No, she's dead.
Yeah.
Because he talks about it to Lestrange.
Oh.
Okay. At one point, remember? He's like, blah, 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 blah. She's like, you don't know what it's like to lose a brother. He's like, I do. I lost a sister.
Yeah.
At an early age. Da, da, da. So she's already dead. His other brother is alive somewhere.
Yeah.
And now, obviously,
they're estranged.
At the end of this, you learn that Credence is a Dumbledore.
Yeah. Because of the whole phoenix thing.
And he gets a
box.
Yeah. And Grindelwald turns a raven into a phoenix. He has a phoenix.
Yeah. And there's that. And that's Fox. That's the Dumbledore's. That's their... That's the fox. That's the phoenix you see throughout the other movies, too.
Do you think?
I think so.
Or do you think that Credence becomes a phoenix?
I don't think Credence becomes a phoenix.
You think?
I think he dies.
I mean, I'm sure obviously he dies.
I don't think he becomes a phoenix.
Something happens to Credence, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think he becomes a phoenix, but yeah. I don't know. The whole thing with Credence is still weird to me. Like, I actually kind of expect him to die, and but I remember seeing that little bit of Scrap running away at the end of the last movie, so I'm like, oh, he's probably not dead. And then, you know, I saw, like, Ezra Miller in the movie, so I'm like, well, obviously, he's definitely not dead.
Yeah, obviously.
I did kind of like the little weird estrangement thing between, what's his name, Newt and, I can't remember her name.
His girlfriend?
Yeah, well, his girlfriend, not girlfriend.
Fuck, what was her name?
Yeah. But it did kind of like...
It'll come
that.
To me, I'm sure.
Their interactions I really enjoyed, and that felt like more akin to like what we saw last movie, is like just kind of interactions and fun little shenanigans, essentially. Even if it's like more fucked up shenanigans. Then you also had the thing between his brother and him marrying a Lestrange. And you're like, well... Like the Bellatrix in Black and kind of stuff like that. Like, you know, that's got to come somewhere kind of thing. Like, I'm curious to see where all that stuff goes.
It'll be interesting to watch where it all flows to and where it ends up.
I didn't see her dying in the movie. I thought she was going to go to the next one, but I guess not. She's poofed and gone.
Yeah, so But the brother's still there. Her yes. brother's still around, so there's still another Lestrange.
Mm-hmm. Well, there has to be, because you have to have Bellatrix.
Well, right, yeah. but... Well, I mean,
Oh, no, because they have the large family tree stuff.
Like yeah, Bellatrix came from somewhere
else. I kept on mixing up the Blacks and the Lestranges, actually. That was probably my problem.
But there aren't any Blacks in this movie, am I right?
I don't think they mentioned any.
Yeah.
And then you had the whole thing about... It's a subtle thing, but I really like... Well, it's like how they did the camera angle buys. When she's saying, I love you, there was the two brothers back-to-back kind of thing. Or, like, when she's about ready... Lestrange is about to die. And she's like...
Oh, hey, yeah. She just looks over and says, I love you.
And it's both of them kind yeah. of thing. Because she probably loves both of them, obviously.
I did like that they basically... Depending on what you know, they either confirmed that Dumbledore and Grindelwald were lovers or were extremely close best friends.
Yeah, they could have been both.
Yeah, because if it, like, and years ago, J.K. Rowling came out and said, you know, Dumbledore was gay. And we're like, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I understand you wanted to have a character that people could relate to and be like, well, look, you liked him and he's gay. And it's like, okay, well, whatever. But, like, you're also just kind of like, there's no inkling at all in any of the movies or the books.
Yeah.
You know, why did you do this? Well, now you can look and be like, well, she was writing these movies. Yeah. So she was already putting it out there that, like, hey, he was gay. And then in the movie, the two of them, if you know that he's gay, you're like, oh, they were lovers. And they broke up, but they didn't want to hurt each other because they still love each other. Or they were just really best friends yeah. and didn't want to hurt each other. So it kind of, you know, your perspective on that can be different.
Yeah.
I actually didn't mind Johnny Depp. He played an you know one of his odd roles, but he didn't have to be Edward Scissorhands for the 800th time.
Yeah. He dipped a little bit. Like, I heard a bit of that Jack Sparrow thing. And when someone's had a lot of iconic roles, it's hard to not pick out certain things. But mm-hmm. for the most part, he did good. I liked the performance he put out.
Yeah, for the most part, he was clean.
He was wonderfully despicable, but at the same time had a little bit of the charismatic.
Well,
charisma
you have to. You have to. Despicable leader like that.
Yep.
You have to have that charisma.
I did like the movie.
I like the movie.
I think I like the movie a bit more than you.
Yes.
But the problem is, like, my biggest problem is that I want to know more. Like, if it was, like, Starship Troopers and there's that button, I'd be clicking it furiously. I'm like, yes, I fucking want to know more. Because there's the part with, like, again, in the Ministry of Magic and, like,
what
in France, they had random, like, freaking iCat shit that I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? They had the weird thing at the end of the movie where they had, like, blue fiery dragons popping up and they're just, like, put up wards. I'm like, what the fuck's going on there? And I keep on wanting to know more.
Well, the dude who created the Sorcerer's Stone is
yeah, and then Nicholas Flamel's there. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is cool. But I'm like, I want to know some, like, I don't know. I can't figure out. I like
the one thing that annoys me is they can never, like... These super magical creatures can never tell if somebody's using magic. Like,
what do you mean?
When Newt and his girlfriend, I can't think of her name at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
When they go to the Ministry of the Magic and they go to the mailboxes, they're like, yeah, this is Lestrange and I'm whoever he says he is. And the lady's like, yeah, go ahead, go on in. Like, they don't ask for any sort of identification or anything. They can't tell that these people aren't. These people...
The only BS answer I can give you, and this is just because what I get in my head, is like, well, you'd have to be idiotic and insane to try to break in there. So I'm like, well, okay.
I mean, but nothing ever comes from it.
Yeah. It's funny because in, like, I did like how they had their own little Diagon Alley there, but they also... They didn't have goblins like they had in Diagon Alley because they had their bank in for Gringotts and all stuff. It's just, I want to know more about the parallels of the different worlds. They're doing a lot of world building, but they didn't explain a lot of themselves, which I would be much happier to go back and read a novelization of this and watch the movie again and hope they explain a bit more of the back history and other stuff. They probably couldn't in a 2-hour movie. But I did enjoy it. I still really like Eddie Redmayne because he plays a wonderfully awkward guy.
I do love... And again, like...
He's not...
I believe they've put him on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But they haven't said anything about it, but like...
But it's genuine. Like,
yeah.
You can see it. Like, I'm like, I know people like this.
Yes.
And he plays it well. Like, he doesn't play it up, doesn't play it down, just
right.
plays it well.
It's the best roles that he's been... That I've seen him in are the ones where he's played not a normal person.
Yes.
You know, like...
With Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, the Stephen Hawking was amazing. He's been really good in this, and I want to see, what is it, the where he plays a, is it a cross-dresser or a trans
Oh, yeah, woman? the Danish girl.
Yes.
I really do want to see
that. I do want to see that, too. But, like, you know, Jupiter's Ascending, we were like, and then we saw something else, and we were like, why do people love Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah.
But now I get it.
Yeah, like, now I'm like, okay, cool, I can see it, buddy.
Yeah.
I do want to know more.
Yeah, it'll be 2 years before we get any more story on this one.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I want to read books. I want to know more before the damn movies, but oh well. So we both say go see it?
Yeah, I'm still going to say see it. I don't love it as much as I think everybody else did, but I still did like it. So yeah, I'm going to say see it.
All right.
And you say see it?
Yeah, I'm on the say go see it, especially if you like Harry Potter. I am kind of curious because I know your theater was kind of empty like mine was, so I kind of worry that maybe there's not as much of an audience for it.
Yeah, that's...
That's my only concern. But then again, we both saw it on a Thursday night. So I don't know.
Yeah, we saw it pretty early on a Thursday night, and one thing to think about is we do, both of us kind of live out in the boonies now.
Yeah.
And as opposed to in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
So, So yeah, we both say... Go see it. Yeah. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 286 of Sprague and Zay Geek. So for Sprague and Zay Geek, I'm Bat.
And I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to episode 286 of Sprague and Zay Geek. Super Sprague and Zay Geek, I'm back.
I'm Hammer.
Brace your geek.
Have a great week.
I think that was Jennifer Love Hewitt. I think it was Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm not 100% sure, but it looked like her. Jennifer Love Hewitt.